Hello, everybody. Welcome to Plant the Spear podcast. I'm Jesse, your host, and I'd like to welcome you to the show. This is actually the very first episode of Plant the Spear podcast. So before we get into it, I just want to give a huge shout out to everybody listening right now. Thank you for your support. Thank you for listening. It's a big deal. You know, this is something that I've been wanting to do for a long time. You got to kind of overcome that fear of putting yourself out there on occasion and, you know, just do it. Just get to it. So here we are. With that being said, I'm going to do a little introduction up front, kind of who I am, how I became a Florida State fan, why I started Plant the Spear. I know people probably think, hey, another Florida State podcast, as if there's not 5,000 already. And in that case, you probably would be right. But if there's already 5,000, well, why not 5,001? Anyway, so I am a one-man band here. I do all the content creation by myself. I build the website. I write the articles. I'm going to record all the episodes, do all the editing all by myself. It is a learning process for me. It's something that I've done a little bit of, but not a lot. So, you know, just a little slack would be appreciated just in the beginning until we get everything sorted out. And hopefully I can just put out some stuff that you guys would really enjoy. And, you know, I do work full time. This is just kind of a hobby for me. So we'll see where it goes as, you know, we continue to grow and see what happens. Hopefully it turns into something. That would be awesome because I really do enjoy talking about Florida State, writing about Florida State. It's something that I've always been passionate about. I grew up in Georgia as a kid. I used to go with my brother to Mike Martin baseball camp. I was too young at the time. I wasn't participating in the camp. But my dad would take me around campus and kind of see the stadium, Doak, and all that. So it was really kind of, that's how I came to be a Florida State fan. He also took me to a few games. The Gator Bowl. We used to go to the Gator Bowl in Jacksonville. And I've seen Florida State play in it a number of times. And that's just kind of where it was born, you know. I mean, once you hear the war chant, you're hooked, and I was. And so ever since then, I've just tried to go to a few games every year, as many as I can. I actually moved to Charlotte, just outside of Charlotte, a few years ago, so I can't make as many as I used to. I always try and get to a couple. I was fortunate enough in 2013 to be able to make it to the national championship out in Pasadena. What an awesome experience. I mean, just to get to see this program at the highest of highs, because, I mean, to be honest, I was a lost decade kid. I grew up after all the success had already happened, it was about the time I became a fan. And that was tough, you know. I mean, we didn't have all that to grow up on. We had the history, the tradition, but, you know, the wins weren't always there. So you kind of had to defend yourself as you were in Georgia and a lot of Florida fans and whatnot, just kind of enemy territory. But that's okay. I mean, you know, now that just to be able to see that, it was really cool. And unfortunately, as of recent, I have also got to see the flip side of things. I was sitting right behind the bench for Jacksonville State last year. That was a very painful experience. You know, hopefully things get better and we can get back to having a really good championship-level football team to talk about. I also did get to meet Bobby Bowden one time. It's a really awesome story. One of the coolest football moments I've ever had. I can't wait to tell you guys that story. We'll get into it. It's summertime. We still got a while to go before the season, so there will be time and to talk about that. Like I mentioned earlier, I moved to Charlotte in 2014. It's kind of been an up and down ride since I've been here as far as football goes. I picked a great time to move up here and be around a bunch of Clemson fans. You know, it was not something I was ever worried about growing up because we usually, you know, even in the good years or the bad years, we always hung up with Clemson. You know, we were always kind of the dominant team in the ACC. I figured, hey, ACC championship games in Charlotte, I should get to see them play right near home at least, you know, every other year, every 2 years or so at a minimum. Well, kind of haven't really been back since, so that's been kind of rough. But, you know, it is what it is. Hopefully that we're on the rise now. Hopefully we'll make it back. Hopefully Clemson's maybe on a decline a little bit. We'll have to see. But moving away from home, I kind of lost contact with a lot of my, you know, a lot of my football friends, people that you would talk about Florida State with, being that there's not a whole lot of Florida State fans that I know up here. So I just kind of, this is my outlet to talk about it. This is my outlet to connect with the other FSU fans. You know, I'm excited about it. I'm really, it's just something that I've always wanted to do. I will say I was able to connect with the Charlotte Seminole Club a few times up here. Man, they have a good time when they watch the games. It's a great environment. If you ever get a chance and you're in the area to check it out, I mean, they're a good group of people. But as far as what I want to cover, it's going to be looking at games, previews, reviews, kind of post-game analysis, stuff like that. Nothing really technical. I'd like to keep this very relaxed environment, kind of around the tailgate, so to speak, type of talk. I don't live in Tallahassee, so obviously it's going to be hard to cover things like practice notes, recruiting, etc. We'll get into as much of it as I can, knowing where I'm at and with the limited resources as far as connections in Tallahassee go. But who knows? Who knows where things are going to go one day? It'll be a show for me to connect with you guys, the audience, and you guys to connect back. And hopefully we just have a cool little Florida State community here that, you know, we can kind of share our thoughts and ideas and, you know, kind of see where everything goes. So that'll wrap up the introduction pretty much. I mean, that's enough about me. You didn't tune in to hear about me. You probably wanted to hear more about Florida State. So we'll get into it. It is post-spring period, post-draft period, kind of the dead period before the season. When I went to start this, I was like, well, instead of rushing into things, and, you know, I mean, obviously you miss talking about a lot of things, but it was kind of, let's get some information. That way we have some things to talk about, because I know this summer is kind of slow for content. There's not a whole lot to talk about, but we can look back at things like the spring, what we learned from that, what I feel like this team's going to look like going forward this year. We'll get into the draft a little bit, where Florida State had some players go, where they didn't have some players go. I will say that one thing on this podcast, and just Plant the Spear in general altogether, one thing I would really like to do is, you know, I mean, I'm more on the optimistic side. I'm not going to come up here and just constantly bash Florida State. I do understand that this is a tough time in the program. You know, there hasn't been a whole lot of success recently, but I mean, to be honest, I'm a fan, and that's why I'm doing this. And if, as a fan, if you can't get excited about your football program, you know, even through thick and thin, if you can't get excited about it, why are you a fan? You know, why would you be a fan of a team and just trash them all the time? I get it. It's tough to watch sometimes. I mean, it's hard. But, you know, I mean, I still tune in every Saturday. I might be pissed at the end of it, but I'm still going to watch. I'm still going to watch all the games. But you got to be a realist. You got to keep it real. You can't go in thinking we're going to win the national championship every year. I mean, you really have to evaluate where you're at and where you're going. And, I mean, it's okay to be critical. It's okay to say, I don't think we're going to be great, but it's also okay to say, well, we might be better than you think. And, you know, looking ahead at year three under Mike Norvell, I think that I'm hoping to see a step forward. I mean, you got to take a step forward at some time. There's been roster turnover. He's had year three, 3 years in the system, should I say, to get things on track. And I think one of the big things is, you know, I mean, COVID really did wipe him out year one. I know that's been talked about over and over and over through Florida State media. It was just an unlucky break. You know, I mean, imagine how hard it would be to learn things just purely over Zoom, and can't build a culture that way. I mean, that's hard. So I really do think that was a huge step back. Now, with that being said, I think it's getting to be time to stop grading on a curve because of COVID. You know, the coaches anywhere prior to this, they did not have the transfer portal. And that is something Mike Norvell has really been able to take good advantage of. But to me, that almost, it doesn't erase the COVID period, but it also really accelerates, you know, how you just recover from that little setback in year one. I mean, yeah, COVID hurt, but you also were able to get people like Jermaine Johnson and Dylan Gibbons and, you know, just a host of transfers that have changed this roster really fast. So I think at some point it's time to take the kid gloves off. It's time to judge things like they really are. It's time to see results on the field. I feel like the program has been moving in a positive direction. I mean, you can definitely tell the social media team, the media presence has gotten a lot better. We're not embarrassing ourselves anymore on social media. If you know what I'm talking about, you know what I'm talking about. The recruiting has seemed to pick up a little bit. You know, I just think Norvell is got it moving in the right direction. We just haven't quite seen the results yet. And I'm really hoping that year three will see better results. I don't know 100% how many wins he's going to be able to get in year three. And the only reason I say that is because if you just look at the schedule ahead, I mean, sure, it's not murderer's row and you have some opportunities to win, but daggone if we can't catch some luck on quarterbacks. I mean, Wake Forest, you got Sam Hartman coming back. You know, you got Malik Cunningham in Louisville. You got Devin Leary at NC State back again. You know, Djurkovic, BC. There's a lot of good competition in the ACC this year as far as quarterback goes. You know, And I think there's going to be some tough games. I mean, without a doubt. But there's some that are very, really, I mean, you got to get over the hump at some point. You can't, as a Florida State fan, as really as a Florida State program in general, you can't be scared of Wake Forest coming to Doak. You can't be worried about, you know, BC and stuff like that. Those are the teams that you got to get ahead of. So I do think in year three there's going to be a step forward, but, you know, let's couch how much success I think we're going to have. You know, I definitely think the goal should be 7 to 8 wins, make a bowl game, get a winning season, just kind of get out of the gutter. You know, that to me, it would be a huge first step. 10 wins would be amazing with a bowl even, but I just don't know that it's in the cards right now. But the standard is the standard. So, you know, if he doesn't perform, then I think things definitely have to be evaluated for what they are. You can't just always keep selling hope. So, you know, like I said, we're going to keep it optimistic, but it's also going to have to be realistic. So anyway, post-spring period, we learned a few things. The spring game was kind of a mess, I think. It almost disappointed me a little more than impressed me, so to say. But there was a lot of limited action. There was a lot of guys that were out, a lot of guys that were missing time, a lot of guys that weren't able to play. Obviously, you had Jordan Travis not able to run the ball, and that's a huge part of his game. I mean, that's what makes him so dynamic as a quarterback, is his running ability. So that is something you have to take in mind, too. I just think that the pieces that they've got in the transfer portal really will be a huge boost this year. I mean, Tatum Bethune is probably the best linebacker you've had on this roster in quite some time. You know, he was a tackling machine at UCF, and that's just not something we've had at Florida State for a while. Micah Pittman coming in at receiver, I think that's going to be a huge boost to a room that really needs it. It is unfortunate that we lost Winston Wright, to injury prior to the season. Hopefully he can be back sometime in the fall. I'm not sure when that'll be. Well, I'll have to wait for updates on his status. You know, and then hopefully I'm thinking they're going to try and still look for a couple more transfers, hopefully on the offensive line, if nothing else, just for some depth, because really, to me, the starting 22 do look pretty good. I mean, there is some reasons to be very optimistic about what the starters can do. To me, where the concern comes in is once you get past the starting 22, once you have to get into this depth chart, well, I mean, there's a drop-off, you know, in talent and experience. And that's not to say that the younger guys that are behind them can't get better and can't be the pieces that we need in the future, but I just don't know that they're there right now. I don't know that you can count on them right now and still have the season that you want to have. I think that, you know, there are some older guys on this team that I think can step up and be leaders. I think there's some young talent to mix in that we saw flashes of last year. So to kind of keep us on track, we'll jump from position to position. I mean, we'll start with quarterback here. You got Jordan Travis up front as the presumed starter. And I think that Jordan, you know, he really is a dynamic talent. A lot of people give him flack about being a passer, but he was pretty good last year. You know, not the Davey O'Brien award winner status, but I mean, he can still throw the ball. He's pretty accurate. You know, he didn't have a whole lot of picks last year. That's something that's always important to protect the football, you know. But again, you got to give him a little bit of leeway considering the offensive line he was behind, which is, I mean, they are getting better, but they still have their issues, and also the wide receiver room that he's working with. I mean, that's got to be tough. You know, a lot of times he's scrambling, trying to make something, you know, open up downfield. Sometimes he's just straight running for his life, you know. And then you got Tate Rodemaker, who we've heard a lot of rumblings about, get better. You know, he's still not really put it all together on the field, so I guess the jury's still out there. It would really be nice if he could come into his own as a backup. I mean, I don't know if we'll ever see him in a starting role, but if we could have something like Sean McGuire-esque out of Tate Rodemaker, then, I mean, really that would make me happy. I would think that as long as, because let's face it, Jordan, he is injury prone, and hopefully this year he doesn't have to put himself in that many positions to take hits and things like that, but I'm sure there's going to be a point where he's going to be out, and unlike last year, we can't have things fall off a cliff every time he gets off the field. I mean, every time he would go off the field, it was automatically game over, with the exception of maybe one drive versus Notre Dame. You got A.J. Duffy coming in as a true freshman. You know, I think he's going to be good. I think he's going to be someone who's going to have a chance to you know, get his day in the sunshine, so to speak, in the future. I don't think you're going to want to put this team on the back of a true freshman quite yet. Let's let him get some experience in the system. Hopefully they find some success so that the same system can be carried forward. You know, I mean, anytime, let's face it, if it's a bad year or 2 years, we're probably going to be looking for another head coach or something along those lines, coordinators, etc. But that makes it tough. I mean, they're already having to learn new systems coming in as a freshman, and you don't want them to have to learn a new system and then over and over and repeat. So hopefully we can find some success, because I really would like the staff to stay in place. It's continuity. There's just something to be said. Now, granted, there's a lot of other factors that are going into things too. You got NIL, you got the transfer portal, you know, and things like that are really changing the game of college football. And I mean, that's going to be part of the game, whether you like it or not. So, but anyway, I know a lot of people want to see Florida State maybe hit the portal for a quarterback, but I think that's going to be a tough ask, because you already have Jordan Travis, who is your pretty much established starter. So whoever's going to come in is automatically going to have to beat him out. And then most people aren't going to transfer to be a backup. They're going to want to come in and take the starting job. And can you really get that kind of player to come in right now? Could you get someone like an Alex Hornibrook? Would it be worth it? Could those scholarships be used at a different position? Me personally, I think they're okay with what they got for where this team's at. You know, maybe if you were looking at competing for a national championship, maybe you try and go and get someone with a bigger name or a more proven passer, what have you. But I think Jordan Travis is fine. And, I mean, let's face it. If Georgia can win with Stetson Bennett, I'm pretty sure we can handle – Now, that's no discredit to Stetson Bennett, because he threw some dimes last year. But, you see, it doesn't always have to be a transformational type of talent at quarterback. But I do think – a huge key to this year is going to have to be Jordan Travis staying healthy. I think he has to be in at least, you know, 90% of the games. Hopefully this year that there's not so many close games that we can't rotate in Tate Rodemaker or A.J. Duffy. It would be nice to see a game like Duquesne where Jordan Travis doesn't have to play but two quarters and maybe a drive to open the third quarter. You know, he doesn't have to be in to the very last second of every game. It would be nice to get him some rest and be able to get the backup some reps, which is something that has not happened a whole lot in the past because of the struggles. I think looking forward, I think they're okay at quarterback position. Maybe not top tier in the ACC, but I think there is sufficient enough for what we're trying to accomplish this year of getting to somewhere in the range of 7 to 9 wins. That would be ideal. So next up, you have the running back room, which obviously this year appears to be something that's going to be handled by committee. You got a whole stable of backs who maybe aren't totally proven, but they've proven that there's reason to be excited, if nothing else. I mean, we saw in the spring game, you saw Trey Benson. He kind of flashed a lot. We've already seen Trayshawn Ward. You know, he's a very impressive runner. Toa Philly, I mean, he's just, you know, he doesn't get a lot of action, but when he does, he's that kind of guy who he can just break something open. He can just make something happen. And, you know, so I'm pretty excited. DJ Williams, he's also in there. He had a pretty good spring game too. So I think he got a lot of things in the running back room to be excited about. I think that is obviously going to be the strength this year. Hopefully when you factor in Jordan Travis is also has that running ability too. I think the run game is really going to be something you're going to have to lean on this year. And that's going to lead us into the wide receiver room. This is something that has plagued Florida State for a long time. And I don't see it getting a whole lot better this year, mostly because of the injury to Winston Wright. I think you had something there, but I think this is one of the most desperate needs for getting someone in the portal. I think the receiver room needs it almost the most, just because you have a lot of guys who haven't done a whole lot. I mean, you got Pokey, he's got talent, but he hasn't really shown a whole lot on the field yet. And now, granted, he could always have a breakout year. You have a few other guys in there that have game experience, like Keyshawn Helton, but they just haven't really been overly impressive yet. And hopefully they can step up this year. I mean, I'm pretty excited about Malik McClain. He showed some amazing catches last year for a freshman. I think that you got Micah Pittman, who's going to probably You know, I mean, he's probably going to have to carry that room a lot this year, unless they can go out in the transfer portal and get another guy. Winston Wright coming back probably later in the fall, from what most people have said, would be a huge boost to that room. I mean, you had a proven 1,000-yard receiver right there in your hands. You know, Mike Norvell cannot catch a break. I mean, come on. Give us a little bit of good luck here for the Seminoles, because it is just, it's been a tough go for this guy. Moving up front to the offensive line, I think this is a group that can be pretty solid as long as you don't really have to get into the depth. I think that's this is one of those groups where if you have a couple injuries, it's going to fall off a cliff. And this is also one of those positions where I think they're going to have to get into the portal. I think they want to get into the portal. Obviously, it would be nice if you could pick up like a day one impact tackle. You know, I'm not even going to get into the Mims thing. It was unfortunate. I think that would have probably boosted you by at least maybe a win this year. But, you know, it's water under the bridge now. So it is what it is. But I think they're going to go out and find somebody, at least for depth. You know, if you could have a guy to where you could have at least about 7, maybe 8 offensive linemen that you could rotate in and out. That way, if you do see some injuries, you don't have to play guys through injuries. You can actually let them recover. You can, you know, have some guys cover in different positions to be able to build a successful unit. Because, you know, when you're that big of a human being in general, you know, when you're running around, you're knocking around all the time. I mean, there's going to be injuries. And a lot of times in the past, a lot of our linemen had to play through injury because we just didn't have the depth to allow them to sit on the bench and or sit on the bench and we could still be successful. I do think offensive line could be something that could be a positive. I mean, Alex Atkins, now he's the offensive coordinator, but he has done a good job with this group considering what he's had to work with. You got Caden Lyles coming in from Wisconsin. He looks the part, still has to learn the system, but man, if he could lock down that center spot and just be a road grader in there, you know, or if at least have a consistent snapper who knows what's going on, he knows how to make the calls, he knows his assignments, he can help other guys out. You know, he's older, he's got some experience. That would be huge for this line to allow you to move pieces other places to get the best starting five possible. As far as tight end goes, I mean, Cam McDonald, he's the oldest, the most proven. He's kind of the guy you're looking to lean on this year. Wyatt Rector is another name that's come out in the spring as someone who could give you something from that position. There's not a whole lot at the tight end position really to be excited about beyond them. I mean, you know, Florida State has a lot of tight ends, but none of them have really been able to put a whole lot on the field as far as production-wise. Moving over to the defensive side, and again, guys, this is just going to be kind of a quick overview. You know, we're already at about 25 minutes. This is our very first episode, so I don't want to run you too long. But over on defense, things I'm excited about. I mean, you got Robert Cooper and Fabian Lovett in the middle. They're both proven commodities. They've shown us on the field what they're capable of. Obviously, there's still some more room for improvement, which hopefully we see in this offseason. You know, Jared Verse coming in from Albany. There's a reason they went and got this guy, and we saw a lot of that in the spring. He's got flash, he's got talent, but can you put it together at a Power 5 level? I mean, he's not going against teams that on Albany's level now. I mean, you're going to have to do it against guys who are Power 5 players. So, but you got him for more than 1 year, hopefully. You know, hopefully 2 or 3 if possible. So that's something to be excited about. You know, I mean, it's going to be a lot to ask to fill Jermaine Johnson's shoes. I mean, that's going to have to be something that, you know, maybe 2 or 3 guys rotate in and out until you find what you need. I don't think you're going to get the type of production that you got from Jermaine Johnson, obviously. I mean, he just went in the first round of the NFL draft. That's not something you come across every day. So I think that the defensive line is solid for this team. I think that's something that, if nothing else, it won't be a weak point for this team, even though you don't have a lot of proven production from your defensive ends. But you have proven production in the middle with talent to be excited about on the outside. Then we'll go back to linebacker, and I'll tell you, Tatum Bethune is someone I can't wait to see in Garnet and Gold. I mean, when's the last time we've had a linebacker that had over 100 tackles like he did at UCF? So that's something to be excited about. You know, I think you saw Kalen DeLoach last year. He came into his own later in the season. He had a lot of good plays. You know, they have a couple of other places there. I mean, Amari Gaynor, he's always, I mean, he's a physical freak. He hasn't had a whole lot, he hadn't really put it together a whole lot on the field, but, I mean, he's got the physical tools. D DJ Lundy's another guy with some upside. So I think if you can get them all on the same page, get them all coached up, I think the linebacker room can be another solid unit for you. I think the thing about this defense really to look at this year, which is probably honestly going to be the strength of this team for 2022, I think that you have a lot of position groups that may not be elite, but I think you do have, you don't really have any weaknesses. You know, you're not looking like, oh man, we don't have anything at linebacker, or oh man, this secondary, we just can't put it together. I think you have a lot of solid groups that have a lot of potential, and you just have to see that potential translate on Saturdays. So speaking of the secondary, I think that you have a lot of guys back there. I mean, obviously you got Jamie Robinson, who really just put it, I mean, he just put it out on the field last year. I mean, he is a hard hitting, hard playing. He gets a lot of interceptions, a lot of turnovers. He's always around the ball. That's obviously probably going to be your natural leader in the secondary. I think he's going to be the one to really step up this year. It's his money year. You know, he knows what's coming, and I think he's going to be ready for the challenge. Akeem Dent's another name I think you can be excited about. You got Duke Cooper. You got Kevin Knowles. They just brought in Greedy Vance from Louisville. You know, they say he's real scrappy from what I've heard in spring, and that's kind of what you need. You need that Jalen Ramsey-esque attitude where you're not afraid of the challenge. So I think the secondary is going to be very solid for this team. Hopefully, realistically, I would just be happy if we could just bury all these blown coverages out of alignments. Just let those things be a thing of the past. If this unit can be in place, well coached, and know what they're doing, there's enough talent that they could be a solid defense. I mean, sure, it's not going to be like a Georgia's defense last year, but I definitely think you could be somewhere top 30 in the nation. You could be, you know, probably top 5 in the ACC. You know, just not really looking at what everyone else has as far as defense goes. But, I mean, Florida State's been known for defense forever. So it's time to put it together. It's time to get everybody on the same page. It's time to use the talent that you have. And I think they are going to do that this year. I think you're going to have to lean on the defense. Of course, they won't be perfect. Of course, they won't, you know, be, I mean, hopefully they'll be dominant, but I don't see that quite happening. You're going to get some points scored on you because the ACC has a lot of really good quarterback play. I mean, these guys are going to have to face some tough offenses. That's without a doubt. And there's going to be some challenges. I think another area that we need to discuss, too, that is really needing to see a big year is going to be special teams. I mean, because we all know as Florida State fans that it's been anything but special. It has been a hindrance to Florida State. We can't catch kicks. I looked it up the other day. Florida State has not had a kickoff return since 2000, or for a touchdown, should I say, has not had a kickoff return or a punt return since the 2018 season. So that's a problem. And we had some missed kicks last year, some missed extra points. It's just got to get cleaned up. And what's I find so puzzling about it is Mike Norvell has been known to be one of the better, or at least have one of the better special teams units in all of college football. I mean, they were top 5 at Memphis, I believe, in at least a few years. And then to come here and it's just been abysmal. I mean, it's got to be something that's got to get cleaned up. And I think if they can do that, it'll provide a huge boost. I mean, special teams killed our field position battle last year. This offense is always starting deep in their own territory because we can't catch a kick. And so I think now that you have a guy like Micah Pittman back there, someone who's shown he has the ability to at least field kicks, make some returns. Obviously, you had Winston Wright, who was also a talented returner, but you lost him to injury. They did pick up a guy recently who was a good FCS returner, but, you know, will that translate? Who knows? So we'll see there. Hopefully the kickers get it together. And, I mean, special teams is just, it can't, special teams is one of those things where it doesn't necessarily have to be, doesn't have to win you games, but it also cannot lose you games. I mean, it's like Beamer ball back in the day. You know, it was always something that was to their advantage at Virginia Tech. And that's something that it can't be a hindrance. It has to be something that can be an edge for you because it really can make a difference. I mean, between field position and not leaving points on the board, things like that, it can really make a huge difference. So special teams is something I'm looking, hopefully, that will take a big jump this year. I mean, it's just got to. It can't be abysmal like it has been. So if you line all those things, everything we just talked about, if you look at the offense, if they can stay healthy, if you take the defense and they can stay healthy and not look poorly coached or out of place or out of position, towards the end of the year, they looked pretty good. And if they can carry that, the later performance of 2021 into 2022, I think it's going to be a solid unit. So, you know, Jordan Travis staying healthy, the defense putting it all together, and special teams just not being a hindrance, I think you can have a pretty good year. Now, by a pretty good year, what are we talking about? 7-8 wins? More than likely. But honestly, 7-8 wins and making a bowl game would be big for this staff. I mean, I think you get Mike Norvell another year. I think it helps in recruiting. I think the fan base is kind of like, okay, we're climbing. Because if we learned anything from the draft, it's that this roster does needed to be turned over. And I think they've done a lot of that now. There's still a lot of talent, I think, that they've brought in as while they're turning it over. It's still young. It's still undeveloped. And I don't think Norvell's going anywhere. I mean, obviously, if he has a terrible year, might at least be on the hot seat. But you need to start seeing some success on the field. And just getting to 7-8 wins, getting a winning season, making a bowl, that would be huge. And so that's kind of what I'm looking for, is somewhere in that range. You know, it's okay to steal a couple. I mean, teams do it all the time. It's okay to steal a few wins that you're not supposed to. You know, and another thing I would really like to see out of this team this year is just cut out the embarrassing losses. Stop getting blown out. Stop losing to an FCS school. Things like that. You know, you clean things like that up and you just get your program back to where it's like, okay, well, they are really close to being back to where they need to be. And to me, that's at least competing for an Atlantic, competing for the ACC, you know, and maybe a New Year's Six game. You know, I mean, take it a little bit at a time. It's not going to be an overnight process. I mean, this team was pretty far down as far as strength and conditioning, culture, talent, experience, everything. I mean, it's just stuff that has to be rebuilt over time. So I do look for a step in year three. I don't know how big of a step, but you at least have to get back to a winning season and a bowl game at a minimum, and then build on that going forward. Let that momentum carry over into recruiting. One more thing before we go, we'll touch on the NFL draft, obviously, which we spoke about earlier. Just wrapped up, Jermaine Johnson, first round, 26 overall to the Jets. Huge congratulations to him. You know, it only took him 1 year to really captivate a fan base, kind of become a fan favorite. You know, he was a leader in the locker room. He did everything, you know, right on the field and off the field, dominant player. I mean, just an amazing talent. I'm so glad that we got him for 1 year. Really wish we could have him for one more at least, because I feel like, you know, in a year where you're really trying to get ahead, really trying to build something, man, having that guy would have been amazing this year. But I do feel like, you know, if Florida State does get turned around, I think he'll be kind of a cornerstone of that turn, just helping build the culture. Coming from a winning program like Georgia, he kind of knew what had to be done to win. And I think that influence will carry over into the locker room this year. So huge congratulations to him. You know, proud to see him go where he went. Unfortunately, that was the only Seminole that heard his name called. And that, again, speaks to where this program's coming from. You know, when you only have one guy taken, I mean, what can you expect? I mean, sure, you got a program like Georgia who had 15 players taken. And that's not typical. That's not every school that's going to have that. But national champion. So, I mean, you see the standard of where you have to get back to. And one is a heck of a lot less than 15. So, you know, we got to get to a talent level where you can have a good few guys drafted. You know, maybe 15, maybe not, but more than one for sure. We did also see a handful of Seminoles get at least an opportunity to make an NFL roster through either undrafted free agent or a mini camp invite, kind of like a tryout camp. Yeah, Jayshon Corbin, who's going to the Giants, getting his shot. Kier Thomas to the Super Bowl champion Rams. It's not a bad place to be. Andrew Parchment's getting a shot with the Carolina Panthers right here in town for me. You know, if he makes a squad, maybe I'll have to go check him out. Emmett Rice, he's getting a chance with the Giants. He'll be up there with Jayshon. That's pretty cool. And then Jordan Wilson, big tight end, Florida State. He's going to the Cincinnati Bengals for a tryout. You know, wish him the best of luck. Devontae Love Taylor, solid piece for the Noles, man. This guy's, you know, he came in, he did what he had to do, he worked hard, and he's earned himself a chance in the NFL with the Tampa Bay Bucks. So that's pretty cool, you know. I mean, granted, not everybody goes in the draft. Not everyone heard their name called, but they do get an opportunity to pursue their dreams. And, you know, I do want to take a second to just wish everybody the best of luck going forward. And I hope these guys have a long NFL career. Maybe there'll be a few more names to come out in the next couple days, maybe the next week or so, going into the camp season and whatnot for the NFL. Just good luck to everybody. I mean, you always want to see everybody do good. You know, it's everybody's dream to play. And you just want to see them be able to pursue their dreams, hopefully make a good living for them and their family. And, you know, that's a big thing. So I think that's going to do it, guys. We're going to go ahead and wrap it up here. This is our very first episode. We're already over the 30-minute mark. I don't want to run too long on you in my first episode. Hopefully I didn't ramble. Hopefully you guys liked it. I know, you know, we may have been a little all over the place. I just wanted to kind of do a quick recap of, you know, post-spring period, highlight the draft. And we'll get more into looking forward into things coming up in future episodes. Hopefully we can get to a point where I can have you guys shoot us some questions or some topics, ideas you want to hear discussed. You know, it's summertime, so there's not going to be a whole lot to talk about. We'll get into some stories. Like I said, I got a Bobby Bowden story for you from when I got the awesome chance to meet him. So, you know, I think we're just going to cut it here. I really do appreciate you guys checking us out. I appreciate you listening. Thank you so much for your support. Be sure to visit plantthespear.com. There's not a whole lot there yet because we're still new. I'm trying to publish as much as I can, so always check back for updates. Be sure to check us out on social media. Probably most active on Twitter. We do have Facebook and Instagram as well. And that's going to do it, guys. I really do appreciate it. I hope you guys all have a great day, and go Noles.